Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
We see Vera's rock ritual. Julian finally lets down his guard, and we get a little bit more information about Marin. Is she Julian's mother? I don't know. Stay with us.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
We're just going to roll with cult songs the entire season.
Yeah.
Because it's just appropriate. Hi everyone, you are at the after show for The Sinner. We are talking episode 3, part 3. We are ridiculously excited to talk about this one because it's always like episode 3, we get a little bit more information. So, but before we kick it off, I'll introduce my lovely co-host.
Hey everybody, Zia Anderson here.
Hey guys, Alice Ward here, and yeah, this episode had a lot of, like, we got a lot more backstory, we got some more craziness, finally see an arrest.
I know, so, I love it.
Lots of good stuff.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that arrest, that's pretty intense, but, and I'm Takira Shabre, so yeah, we're talking about all of that. We have to talk about Harry's past, because we get a little bit more information about him. We have our news and gossip, which is kind of cool. Some of you local people might want to dig a little deeper into our news and gossip. Listen out for that. And we have our Killer Kids segment. So let's get right into it. The thing that stood out, not the most, but a little bit, Vera's rock ritual. Say that 5 times fast. what
that
did you guys think of that?
Weird thing.
Very strange, yes.
Little twisted, a little, someone on Twitter said erotic.
Like a tantric, like, sexual invocation.
Yes. She definitely went through a range of emotions as well. It went from, like, painful to euphoric to sexual. Like, mm-hmm. She kind of hit all of them in there, so I'm not entirely sure what that's all about.
Yeah.
I originally, with The Rock, kind of thought that it was drawing the darkness out or something of that nature, but now I'm not so sure. Because of that scene. I mean, maybe it just draws the feelings out of you or something.
Okay.
I'm thinking something like that, but this could go just anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, Jessica Biel already kind of prepped us. She was like, there's a lot of twists. So I feel like every time we have it figured out, it's just going to take a turn. So
yes.
Normally I can keep my finger on weird shows, but I don't know. What about
you? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what kind of lore of, you know, fairy tale-esque thing this rock is. But, you know, like in witchcraft, they like invoke the spirit. So I don't know if maybe, like, The Rock is maybe something to do with that, but it was definitely very strange.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I got that too, and I kind of got kind of the same vibe, but I feel like she was definitely channeling the inner darkness. Like, I still kind of think that, because she was upset about, obviously, Julian, and we find out that he's getting tried as an adult. I mean, like, I know we'll hit on that a little bit, but
yeah.
I feel like she's definitely teaching herself the methods that she has taught Julian to channel that shadow. And I'm like, oh crap, it's about to get twisted, because
it's coming out.
We saw Julian's shadow, and I am terrified to see Vera's.
Well, maybe that's what this is, that's where you let the shadow in, you know, and that's what it does to you. I don't know.
Yeah. A little interesting. Did anyone see blood on the rock?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Maybe it was just me.
I don't know.
Was just seeing stuff for myself. Maybe.
This is why if I had the time, I would watch the episode twice. Once for taking notes and once for, like, because I know when you're taking notes, I'll look down and sometimes I miss, like, one thing and I have to rewind it and go back.
Yeah.
So
I think we should ask our friends in the chat here if any of you guys saw Blood on the Rock and what you guys think about The Rock, too. So let us know if you have any thoughts on that. And we'll be sure to give you a shout out.
Oh, yeah. I'm interested. I want to make sure nobody, you know, that maybe there's crazy people out there with me. Make sure I'm not the only one. Not to call you crazy if you think there's blood on the rock, but whatever.
Just saw something that we didn't see.
I know, right? but that kind of takes us into, you know, she's doing something that she's taught Julian, and it kind of takes us into Julian being tried as an adult, taken, arrested, officially arrested as an adult. And she kind of preps him again, surprise, surprise, of what to say. And he gives her pushback.
I know. What did you guys think of that? You see him a little bit more now that he, because he has, I'm assuming, hasn't had much contact with the outside world outside of Mosswood. Mm-hmm. And also, again, I'm assuming, because this show could have twists,
right,
that that he has been incredibly brainwashed. Oh, so yeah. His whole view on life has been skewed now that he's outside of Mosswood and he's possibly seeing and meeting other people. Mm-hmm. He's possibly being told that people on the outside, they obviously he's being told that they won't understand, yeah, maybe that they're mm-hmm. evil. And he's meets this detective who seems like he has really good intentions and who's really trying to help him. And he's confused by that. And I think that he's also confused because Vera seems to be telling him to lie, which...
Right.
Goes so against what they're teaching him that he had, it seemed to me like he had a literal panic attack in there. He was freaking out.
Mm-hmm. Well, he killed like Bess and Adam because they lied, and now he's being told to lie. And he literally said, if you lie, it splits you in two.
Yeah. And what did you guys take on that? Because for me, my mind was going in all different like parts of the world. Well, I guess, but before the whole split in two thing, when he's in that session, did you notice that he was like grabbing her arm before he went into the session with that therapist?
Vera's arm?
Ooh. Vera, whenever he was like, I don't want to lie, he was like grabbing her arm. Vera was twisting his arm. Huh. And if you'll notice, like maybe it'll show it in other episodes, but if you'll notice anytime Julian gets really upset, he kind of does this little like grasp thing, like crisscross thing with his arm. And so I don't know, maybe that's
it means something,
you know. I'm super big on that. But he said it's you split in two when you lie. And I don't know, different interpretations, and those who are joining us in the live chat or even after on YouTube, let us know what you think it means. But to me, I was like, okay, is it split like heaven and hell, or is it literal? Because we have a lot of murders in this show. Yeah. I was like, does it mean like your soul and spirit leaves your body? Does that mean death? Like, my mind was kind of racing. So what did you guys think when you initially heard him say you split in two? Anything
that... I'm thinking maybe it's two versions of yourself. Mm. There's possibly the good and the bad, or the light and the dark. And you need to keep them together. Something along those lines. Because he keeps also talking about when you die, you start over.
Yeah, the pieces thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that you're a conglomeration of a bunch of pieces.
Right.
Right?
Which So maybe just pieces of you are splitting. I can't say words today. You become split into two pieces.
Yeah. You know, it just like literally came to me in thought. When he said that you come in, didn't he say something like you come in different forms?
And yeah, it's almost like you're made up of different people. Yeah. Also.
But is the rock, that's a form. Like, who, so it makes me kind of think who is the rock, maybe, in a sense?
Oh, that's a great theory.
Devil or something.
The rock is a person. Obviously, Christianity, they worship a figure, like all these religions worship a figure. Maybe the rock is their figure.
I don't know. Well, and I don't know, Christianity, like they kind of says, like, you know, don't worship false idols. Mm-hmm. But you said a lot of religions, I don't know, focus on or worship to or praise and a thing. So I don't know, that hit
me. So maybe the rock is a person.
Yeah, huh. That's kind of strange.
That's a really interesting thought. Yeah.
Interesting theory. We'll see. But anything else that you guys took from the official therapist session?
I was surprised at how much he actually told her.
Yeah.
Because I thought he was going to be a lot more like reserved and just not lie, but just not tell her the answers.
Yeah.
And I was surprised that he said so much about what really happened. And even with, like, well, why did you give them the tea? Yeah. Well, they lied. You know? And I was like, what?
And the he's letting his guard down a lot. And he let his guard down. I know we saw with Harry in the back of the cop car. Mm-hmm. But do you think Bess's whole, you know, I just want this to be over. I hate lying. Maybe we can, you know, save it. But what kind of came to mind when you guys heard that? Like, what is she lying about?
Well, it seemed that they took him on a trip and told him that they were taking him on a trip, even though they had no intentions of bringing him back.
Like, maybe they said, okay, come on, we're going right. to the store. And then, like, if you're a little kid, your mom says that. Like, right. we're going to the toy store. And then you roll up, it's the doctor, like, thank
you. Like, I thought we were getting toys, Mom.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then like where were they really taking him?
Right.
Were they taking him to kill him? Were they taking him to escape? Like, so there's those questions, because I know in episode one we were like, were they, you know, were they doing that? I don't know. But now we kind of have, you know, an actual proof that they were taking him away.
Mm-hmm. And because even Vera said it in a weird way, like in a
roundabout
an indirect kind of way to Harry. But, well, we're not indirect around here. We're pretty direct, and we ask a good favor of you, because we do work so hard to build this platform to talk about the shows and bring you guys into the platform, too, as our extended panelists. So we got a little favor to ask. Yeah. He's going to mention it.
Hey, AfterBuzzers. Our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality, TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. You can turn them off. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel, and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. For now, thank you for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Yeah, yay. Thank you guys. Greatly appreciate it. But we talk about Julian's guard being let down a little bit. He obviously lets it down with Harry in the back of the cop car, gives him his number the old school way. Like, you actually have to memorize numbers.
Right?
So what do you think was going through Julian's mind, though, when he actually got arrested? You know, like,
honestly, I think that that's the reason why he's letting his guard down so much, because he's scared. He's never found himself in this situation, and he's probably starting to question whether or not Vera can protect him.
Yes, that's what came to my mind, because I feel like he is battling the thought of, maybe Vera promised me that I was going to be okay, or she's the one that got me to do this, and now I'm not being protected. All of the promises, because he's super big on promises and lies, she's breaking all of them. So he has to be like, well, who the heck can I trust?
Right.
Might as well trust the guy with the beard, because I'm digging his beard a little bit.
wondering if he's feeling like a little manipulated by Vera.
Yeah, I would assume so, for sure.
Shattering his worldview a little bit there.
Yeah. And I mean, not to mention, if you kind of think about it, and it might be subtle, but when he got into the cop car, Vera couldn't necessarily go to the cop car or go sit in, or like, she's being blocked. And it's almost like Julian really can't, like, Vera can't go the places that Harry can go to protect him. Like, she can't go inside of the therapist's office or the jail cell or whatever. And he might kind of subconsciously realize that Harry has more power to save him than Vera does.
That's a great point.
Yeah, so.
And they've bonded over the mother thing. And the childhood thing.
And the dream thing. They're both really big on mother. I don't know if you guys feel this way, people in the chat, but I feel like this season is so focused on mothers and like the distorted relationships between mothers, because we have Harry and his mom, we have Marin and her mom, Heather's mom is out of the picture. Detective Ambrose?
That's a good point.
Julian's mom, like literally everyone's mother is like a missing or broken piece in this equation. And so I kind of feel like that has something to do with it. But the dreams also connect them too. Like, you know, I think obviously the nightmare that Julian keeps having, but we get an interesting dream from Harry.
That was a super interesting dream.
Yeah.
Yeah, he sees, you know, himself as a boy putting the rocks on the eyes of his mother.
Yeah.
Which I thought was you know, pretty disturbing.
I wonder if it's his past and his present merging, because obviously it's the case that he's working on, or possibly he feels guilty that when he was a kid, maybe he didn't do enough to save his mother, so he feels partially responsible for her death.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know what happened yet, so I don't know if that's it, because we still don't know. There was an accident of some kind, but I don't know if she died.
Well, he mentioned, what happened? Yeah, we're left kind of in question with that, because Harry mentions that, oh, she's fine, because someone asked, oh, did she die in the actual fire specifically? And he's like, no. Oh, it was Jillian.
Yeah.
He said no. So it kind of makes you think, okay, what happened? Did she get taken to a mental hospital and then he gets put in foster care? We still, because we don't even know if she's alive.
Right. So he doesn't go visit anyone that we know of yet.
Yet. Because I think that might be, you know, I don't know.
Right. And at the Rotary Club meeting with all the guys, one of the guys asks him about the fire. Then he just is super weird the rest of the night.
Which
he always is.
Yeah. I feel bad for him because he's obviously doesn't do well in social situations. They make him very uncomfortable. He's not good at small talk.
Not at all.
So he gets drug along to that situation and they ask him this insanely personal question. And past trauma.
It's like, oh, I heard you ran away from the town because of this. How's that going?
Well, it's like, right, of all the things to bring up at basically a dinner party, it's oh, hi, nice to meet you. Yeah, I heard your mom burned down your house when you were nine.
So about that traumatic experience as a child. How's that working for you?
Super weird.
I think that the eyes, I love your mention on the whole, his past, his, reality. And I feel like it also, I mean, let's be real. Harry is a really good detective. He breaks the rules sometimes when he feels like it's necessary to get to the main cause of it all. But, I mean, this is a killer. And we know this is a killer. But I feel like the rocks in the eyes also symbolizes his empathy towards Jillian. Because obviously, season one, he had Cora, and he was ridiculously empathetic to her as well, even though she killed someone. So I feel like that's kind of the writer's, whether it was intentional or not, the writer's way of, hey, this is a really bad person. They did something really bad, but it's almost like it forces us to kind of feel sorry for them in some kind of way. So I feel like that might be kind of a sign of that too. But what about the chick? His little high school sweetheart, maybe?
Something like that. Yeah, they definitely seem to have some sort of a history. And it also sort of seemed like he just picked up and left without saying much and kind of just left her hanging. Yeah. She doesn't seem too bitter about it, but it seemed like that's what she was getting at.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and it seems like, so I guess I was trying to figure out, what age he left. I was like, was he 15? Was he 20? Was he 10? You know, so I was trying to
kind of... And she said 17. So she said, you're 17, you up and leave, and how do you deal with that pain? So it kind of led us to maybe think that he was, maybe he graduated high school and he was like, I'm out.
Getting out of this town.
Yeah.
Can you blame the poor guy?
But it seemed like everyone kind of remembered him fondly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know?
And then it was never coming back.
Yeah. And maybe remembered him as that kid that had that weird situation. That maybe he didn't really get close to anyone, but he's like, oh, yeah, that's the fire kid. He was always known as that situation.
Yeah.
He definitely clearly up and left on some people, because his friend that he's staying with, for some reason, his name is escaping me.
Mr. Novak.
Heather's father, he also brought up, over the years, he clearly hasn't been contacting him. He's like, I tried to be a good friend to you, but you've proven of it. And he kind of sees Harry break down and I think realizes all the things he's going through and probably why he distances himself from people. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like he had a great home life. And so people seem to remember him fondly and really like him. But I don't think that he lets people get too close or gets too close to other people.
Well, and you bring up a good point, too, about Heather's dad, because he mentions to Harry as well. He's like, I know it's really hard for you to be here. I totally understand if you want to leave. So they keep teasing, whatever the traumatic event was that happened, I guess probably when Harry was 17, to make him, escape and never look back. And obviously, Mr. Novak knows and was there. and had something to do with it. So
it seems like maybe he's his only real friend. Mm-hmm. And at first we're under the impression of, oh, this bad thing happened to the mother, so he was raised in the system a little bit and then left. But they're definitely kind of tossing it like he left in the night, something happened, but at an older year. So I really hope we get a little bit more about that.
I'm sure we will.
Yeah, I know, right?
Next episode, maybe, please.
I know, right? So Harry and Heather are continuously being the dynamic duo, kind of taking her under his wing as a little Padawan. But they come across, finally, like some type of breaking point of the whole questioning whether or not Vera is his Julian's mom, and they come across a doctor. I really love this part.
Yes,
but it was also really predictable. I don't know about you guys.
100% saw it coming. Okay. I was like, oh, he killed himself.
Yeah, exactly. When he didn't come back, I was like, oh, we're gonna find him hanging. But it was a lot more vicious.
That's an gnarly way to go out. That takes guts.
Literally, pun intended. I could not. He cuts his throat. Oof.
Well, can we talk quickly about the events that led up to that?
Yeah. Because it's like,
so we see Heather. What was that book she was reading from? Because I didn't catch that, but you just see all the circled names with Julian.
It just looked like a summer novel.
It was, right? Yeah, it was a by Catalina Roche. It was called Dolphin Beach, but
and was that Marin's book?
What do you mean? Oh, yes, it was.
Yeah, so it was in her box of stuff.
Yeah, I thought you meant, like, did she write it? And I was like, no, I'm pretty sure Catalina did. it was her book because, you know, Heather goes to see Marin's mom and starts to actually look into why Marin left, because we learned that Marin didn't want her to search for her or something. But, yeah, it was her book. And so Heather said that she circled the things that she loved. And so she circled Julian over and over and over and over again. So, duh.
When she had the thought. Yeah. That was also predictable.
Yeah, it's when she had, you know, the thought. And, but yeah, they, I kind of had a hard time piecing together a time frame. Because I was like, okay, if she had a book, I was under the impression that she ran away to Mosswood. And why would she have things back at her mom's house? Because, I mean, Mosswood kind of seems like the place, like, once you're in, you don't really come out.
Yeah.
So it's not like you get visitation, like, hey, mom, how you doing? Just here for the weekend. she finds that book, and then she starts to say, Julian looks really familiar. Did you guys see that coming? Like, that connection of Marin?
That particular one? No.
Yeah, not anymore.
No. The only thing I can think of is that she read the book, and like she said, she used to circle things she liked, and just as a dreamer was like, oh, if I ever have a son, I love the name Julian. Mm. And it just happened to be a coincidence. That's the only thing I can think of. And then the book got left behind at her mother's when she went to Mosswood. But the time frame definitely fits out. She left 12 years ago. 13 years ago? 10 years ago?
12.
12.
Okay, yeah, 12.
And Julian is 12.
He's 11.
So that's 11, yeah. So that's exactly,
you know,
like, the timing works out exactly right.
Well, she did mention that she, I think it's Marin. I think Marin is, is
absolutely
Julian's mom.
I agree, yeah.
Yeah, I do. But she said May 5th, like May 05 is when she ran away. So she either got pregnant by Cutie that she met last episode or got pregnant and didn't know, maybe, and then went into Mosswood and had the baby. But
or it's like the Immaculate Rock Inception.
Yeah,
and that's why they think Julian's the chosen one.
Right.
Something like that.
Maybe what Vera was doing is just like intercourse. Who knows? Whatever.
I mean, it kind of looked like it.
Totally.
That's why they say no sex. You have sex with the rock. That's right?
Right. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's a little interesting. But yeah, so I do. I think that's her mom. So, and we kind of got a little bit of, we were led to think that because Vera is not seen given birth.
Mm-hmm.
She has a birth certificate. Someone signs. This says, yep, I was there. It happens. No father's name, but we got a doctor's name. And yeah, they go to address it and ask more questions about, hey, what do you know about this? And he doesn't really want to give info.
And you can see as soon he gets that look on his face right before he says, I'm going to go get my files. And you're like, oh, he knows something. Yeah, right, he definitely exactly. knows something. I was mm-hmm. not expecting the shrine.
Yes, for him to yeah. have it. Yeah.
Well, was...
He does say that they... I mean, anything else that you guys took from the convo? I mean, it was really short and sweet to me. It was yeah. just like, yeah, I had the baby. I don't remember seeing this lady.
Well, even when he sees Marin's photo, you can tell that he's seen her.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's like...
So he...
No.
Right? Hold on a second. Wait a minute. I think she was definitely killed. Something maybe not killed, but I'll save my one little piece for the end of for predictions. But I do think obviously he knows.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But yeah, the rocks it throughout his ooh
yeah
that was a creepy vibe.
It really makes you wonder too how far into the community
right
does. Does the cult, like, reach?
Well, how many people she has connections.
He's involved. I think Brick, the deputy, is involved.
I think we said that last time. Was that week one or two? Because that was, like, super early in the game.
I think that was week two. I was there for that. Yeah. That was the first one.
And obviously she has her own lawyer. I think it'll even go deep. Like, literally every avenue that she has to visit town for, grocery, like the grocery clerk, the restaurant, like everything I feel like is connected. She has somebody everywhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I wouldn't even be surprised if it's like another detective or a therapist or a police officer or something that's trying to keep an eye on on him. So,
which I also found, sorry, this is going back to before, but I just had this thought. Why would they let Vera talk to him before he gets evaluated?
I don't know. I was wondering that, too. I was like, why? How is she always in there talking to him?
And she said it out loud. It's not like she whispered in his ear like she did the first time. She's like, okay, this is what you're going to say.
Right.
They're going to ask you questions. You're going to have to lie. Like, I have no idea. That's a good point. I mean, at this point, especially since he's being tried as an adult, do you just kind of keep him in just one room? No.
Right.
Like, just...
Well, and all that is recorded as well. Like, everything you say inside a prison or a juvenile detention center, like, there's microphones everywhere.
Maybe that's why maybe that's why they let her. Because it's like, oh, she'll tell on herself. Everything you say will and can be used against you in the court of law.
So there you go.
Have at it. Give us all the tea. But anyway, kind of goes into our last topic of, is Marion, isn't Marion? The mother. So I think we pretty much highlighted
that.
We think so. If you're in the chat, feel free to drop that too. And just a kind of a reminder, I know a lot of you watch our videos on YouTube. You join us live. You watch them or listen to them afterwards or during on iTunes. We're on iTunes too, so you can leave a review. You can leave us, you know, 5 stars because 1 through 4 just... there's a little glitchy. It just doesn't work. But you can leave us a review. Let us know how we're doing, things that you want to talk about, all that good stuff. So comment anything that you took away that we aren't able to talk about because we are on limited time, but we will continue conversations in the comments. That brings us to our really cool segment that we have. It's so relevant to this show because, you know, we got Julian. He's a killer kid. So, you know, Alice was like, what the hey? We're going to do our research and we're going to find other killer kids that have been in history. So let's kick it
That's
off.
That's right. Okay, guys.
The creepy music.
We're gonna,
we got to... You got to set the mood.
Oh, the laugh is so creepy.
Yeah. It's almost like you got to let that play to get people, like, really creeped out.
That's right.
Yes.
So this week, guys, we have Eric Smith. We're going to put a photo of him up on the screen.
He looks like a killer kid.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does, right? Well, he apparently was bullied a lot because of his looks, his red hair, his strange-looking face. And one day, he was riding his bike through a local park in Steuben County, New York, while he was 13 years old. And he bumped into a 4-year-old who was just walking alone, apparently. Don't know why. Well, he lured this small boy into a wooded area, strangled him, dropped 2 large rocks on his head, and then, get this, sodomized him with a tree limb.
Oh, my.
What?
Yeah. Pretty horrible. It was gosh. Later, he was later diagnosed by a psychiatrist that he has intermittent explosive disorder, which is a mental disorder that's very rare and usually is not evident in anyone of his age.
Wow.
So he was eventually convicted of second degree murder and sentenced to the maximum term, which was then available for juveniles, which was a minimum of 9 years, but up to life in prison. Well, he has been up for parole 9 times over the last about 30 years, and he's been denied 9 times.
Wow.
He just went through another parole hearing this year, actually, and was denied again.
What does that tell you?
He's up again in 2 years. But yeah, every time he goes up for parole, people say that he is a danger to any society and would definitely not be safe to be out on the street. So
wow, that's a good killer kid segment. And that's amazing.
He also had mom issues, so it was later determined that during pregnancy his mother took an epilepsy drug called tridione, which is known to cause birth defects. And it's been speculated that that might have had some sort of effect on his mental health.
Gosh. You know, that weirdly, I mean, I'm no doctor, but that weirdly makes sense because when you think of epilepsy, it's incontrollable. Like, it comes out of nowhere. Well, it's triggered by some things that they said, but it's, like, out of nowhere. So the fact that his demeanor, his... Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. It makes you almost feel bad for him because he had no control over it. Like, if he was... After the murder, you don't.
Right.
But before, you're like, oh, he had no control over any of that. His mom taking the drugs.
And apparently he's shown little to no remorse over the years, which is why
so then you feel not bad for him again.
Well. No. Yeah, there we go. There's the denial. Makes sense.
Gosh.
Well, thank you, Alice, that killer kid. So every single week, we'll have a different killer kid for you. All the good, juicy, creepy details. And anyway, that brings us to our news and gossip of the show.
Just like hearing this, it makes me feel like I'm in a newsroom.
I know, right?
So this is just a little bit of a fun one. So apparently they've been filming in Purchase, which has been filling in for the for an upstate New York town in the second series of The Sinner, which I believe is in, I think I read North Carolina or South Carolina. I have to double check on that. And a lot of the scenes take place in the Cobblestone restaurant. And they posted a picture saying, you may have noticed that we're closed again today, which is what they post on Instagram. Mm-hmm. We're happy to tell you that the Sinner production crew spent their second to last day of filming with us here, where they filmed several scenes for the season 2 finale. So you can actually go there.
That is so cool.
You can go visit it, guys.
Like, shameless plug. We're not sponsored whatsoever by this place, but that's kind of cool. If you're
a big fan of the show.
Yeah, if you go... Oh my gosh, if you please, just for me, just because I'm this weirdo, if you go, please post a picture and tag us. We'll give you our social media and all that good stuff at the end. But... not necessarily just to follow us and get followers. I just really want to see you guys' photos. So,
yeah, that would be so cool.
Yeah, use, hashtag The Sinner
AfterBuzz.
Why not? Hashtag The Sinner AfterBuzz. And post your pictures if you go. That's really, really cool. Well, our last segment is a fun one. Predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV.
Like, I'm getting channeled from this outer universe or something. I'll let you guys kick it off.
Oh, gosh.
If you have anything.
Me first.
I mean, I got, like, 8, but, you know.
I don't even know where to begin. I think that we're going to find out more about Harry's backstory, for sure. I think we are going to go back to Mosswood maybe in this next episode and do some more digging, maybe find out a little bit more about the rock and what that means.
And the barn. She specifically mentioned the barn.
Don't mention the barn.
Yes.
That's a little strange, but
and I think that we're gonna see maybe some more sentencing of Julian.
Okay.
As well.
Mm. I'm thinking that Marin, I always mess up her name.
Marin.
Had the pronunciation of it.
Marin.
She got pregnant from that dude at Mosswood.
The pretty one.
And they found out about it and killed her. as a punishment and took her baby.
Ooh,
definitely. I don't know if that's it, but
no, that's good.
I agree with you.
Maybe. No.
Mine was really ridiculously similar. I think obviously my prediction is that we'll find out where Meryn is. At some point in time, we're going to find out a little bit more about her backstory. But I feel like she's such a big character that to just kill her off is like too easy. Ooh. And I kind of want it to be difficult. So I think she's still alive.
Ooh.
And I think that Bess and Adam abducted Julian because, all right, real quick, this is what happened. So Meryn left, had sex with that guy or whatever. They kill him.
Ooh.
They like keep her like quarantined or something, maybe in the barn. I don't know. Maybe the rock is like covering up her blood or whatever. She has the baby. Vera claims it. Maybe Meryn runs away. Like she escapes the whole cult situation. And she, I feel like, had that conversation with herself. Like, look, Julian, I feel like I need to run away to protect Julian. She runs away. Bess and Adam take over. Maybe Bess was like best friends with Meryn. And so Bess kidnaps Julian to save him. And they were actually taking him to Meryn.
I love that one.
Yes. That is what
I like it.
That's what I think. So that's what I'm channeling. So I feel like they really were saving him. And they maybe didn't tell Julian exactly where they were going because they maybe wanted to protect him, so they were like, hey, we're just going to take a little trip. And,
Niagara Falls.
You know, and maybe he wouldn't have come with them because he thinks that Vera maybe is his real mom. And so maybe if they were like, look, Vera's not your mom. This is the year we're taking to your real mom. Yeah, he would have like freaked the heck out.
Well, and you're right, because Bess, they said, has been at the center for like over 10 years.
Yes,
exactly.
So that would also, timing would be.
Timing would be perfect.
I love this theory.
Meryn came around the same time.
That's what I think. So,
love it.
Yeah. And then I think maybe Detective Ambrose will visit his mom. Because if she was dead, I feel like we would have heard about it.
Exactly.
It would have been confirmed. Mm-hmm. And so I think if she's in like a mental hospital or something, he's avoiding going to see her. So maybe that's why he feels so uncomfortable being in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we will meet at some point in time Detective Ambrose's mother.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
Yeah, I like your predictions.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what I think. But drop your predictions. We love to hear from you guys. Live chat. I know we had somebody pop in, right?
Yeah, we have Alex Marcino in the chat. And
Ooh, hey, Alex.
I don't know. Said it gets complicated every episode. And yes, it
does.
Certainly does.
Gosh, if you have spoken any other truth. Well, I don't know. Since you're here, Alex, drop some predictions if you have them. But if you're listening afterwards on YouTube, drop your predictions in comments. Let us know, where the heck do you think Meryn is? Meryn. I said Meryn.
It's
all over the place.
Her
Meryn.
Name could be said so many different ways for some reason in my brain.
is she alive? Do you think she's somewhere out there in the world? Where do you think, you know, what do you think will happen? But that's pretty much it for us today. We'll read a couple of predictions. Any others that popped up maybe in the chat?
Yeah, we've got one more here. Mark Dixon says, I think Meryn enjoyed the commune, but after Mr. Cutie knocked her up, she wanted to leave to see her mother. They held her until she kept the baby, and then they killed her, and then they called the doctor for the certificate.
Ooh.
Mark, we are on the same wavelength,
hats
my friends. We're
hats
on the
off.
Same wavelength. But anybody else, if you have something, feel free to drop us a comment. We would love to read them. But to continue the conversation, where can they find you, ladies?
They can find me on Twitter at Alice L. Ford or Instagram and YouTube at Alice's Adventures on Earth.
All right. And you can find me on Instagram at Zia_land. It's spelled XIA_land. Also, Sunday nights at 10 p.m. for Marvel TV Weekly.
Ooh, I love Marvel. And you can find me, Takira Shabray, and all of my crazy theories of the center on Twitter or Instagram at Takira_Shabray. And again, if you go to this on-site place, tag us, hashtag the center AfterBuzz. We would love to see them. But thank you so much for tuning in this week. We will see you next week. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. to watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.